Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and here we are on Monday to encourage you. We have so many things we want to share with you. More things have been unveiled with this meteorite and meteor. It's like different versions of that thing. To understand that Pat Robinson, the CBN Club, wrote about this in his book sometime back, that this is one of the end times moves. It'll be a meteor. Hopefully we get a chance to talk about that. Also, we're going to be talking about Dwayne Wade bought his mother a $2 million church. Bought his mother a $2 million church. Joining me to encourage you today to go get your mama a church, the building, is Pat Hamilton.
Hi there.
And John Ramos. You know, we are going to be talking also about Black History Month. You know, this is the month we focus on our history. And there's a very important reason why, because many people try to erase history, not only Black history, but also female history, female doctors and all those that served in the past. We'll also be talking about the Justice Department, who is saying that homeschool is not a right and is literally coming against those that are seeking asylum in America from the German government, who's trying to stop their Christian beliefs. And so much more. You're listening to VFN Radio. We're here to encourage you. Yes, VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the light conversation is Pat Hamilton.
Hi there.
And John Ramos. VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Well, here we are. It is Monday. What an interesting moment in all of history. Every moment, every Monday has a unique moment in itself. And it's so encouraging because, you know, quite often much of the church in the world, at least in America, are gathering on Sunday to be able to hear from the Word of God, fellowship with other believers, to worship God and just kind of reboot and begin to think about how we're going to honor God in our week. And it's just such an encouraging thing. It's just an encouraging thing. Yeah. And then Monday is the day that we get to walk out what we actually just learned. I know that's an interesting for some folks, but that's those that love God. They're looking like, oh, this is great. I got a chance to apply everything I just learned.
Right.
And we had a privilege of hearing Steve Hill, Steve Hill Ministries, talk about repentance.
Powerful.
And was that not the heart of the Brownsville Revival? Was every single night.
Yeah.
Every night.
Every night. And if you know, it didn't even matter if you repented last night and you showed up this night for the Brownsville Revival, the conviction was so strong. Mm-hmm. You were literally like, okay, let me do a data search. I'm sure there's something inside of me.
And I got saved every night.
And people, we literally had to begin to teach folks that you don't get saved every single night. Because the conviction is so strong. But, you know, come to think about it, you're sort of wishing like, you know, I think we should get saved every night. Because since then, many people quit repenting for sin.
Yeah.
And one of the key elements of a revival and outpouring, a move of God, is preaching the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, you know, continually.
All the red letters.
And I'm telling you, if you haven't yet began to abide and hang out in the gospels, I encourage you to do it, because it is the place where you're going to be shocked. You're going to be shocked that Jesus talked about things like hell and sin, and it's like, oh my goodness, what was that preacher talking about? This Jesus
that
plainly says
it.
He, like, cut stuff off and everything, and go to hell, and worms crawling in out of your body, and whitewashed tombs. Is like, oh my goodness, we've really detracted from that original commitment of Jesus's words, haven't we? And
sure
it's like,
did.
Lord, forgive us. And I think about today. You know, today is on Valentine's Day, I believe, on the 14th, that the evangelist T.L. Osborne, that he passed away. He totally passed away. And T.L. Osborne was a missionary evangelist. His name is Tommy Lee. Tommy Lee Osborne. I never knew that, but I know it's T.L. Osborne. He established Osborne Ministries, which is an international ministry, with his wife, Daisy, in 1949 in Tulsa. And he died February the 14th. Their ministry reached more than over 100 nations and had a daily had daily meetings that featured up to 300,000 attendees. He would begin to talk about the power of God, and just people would begin to get healed in his meetings. He's just talking about the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe his testimony is he started off as a Catholic, and he got saved, and in that, he just fell in love with God and this, the simplicity of the gospel. You know, he and his wife were 17 and 18 when they began to spread the gospel in India. Oh, they got married when they were 17, 18, but when they were 20 and 21, they began to spread the gospel in India, and they just had this lifelong commitment to be able to evangelize. You know, one way, Jesus, one job, evangelism. I love that.
Mm.
And that's kind of where we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do you keep on talking about the outward thrust? It's like, first of all, aren't you tired of the inward one?
And I think they got touched at a William Brennan's meeting too, and which really had a tremendous impact on their life and ministry. It's pretty powerful.
Wow, wow! But he was known for his preference for face-to-face preaching over television ministry, and was said to be the first missionary to hold public meetings in non-Christian nations.
Mm.
What happened was, from what I understand, that he went to Asia and just crashed and burned. And at that point he began to preach, you know, doctrine and men's concepts and ideas and all that thing. And then he began to seek the Lord. You know, why did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was preaching my denomination. What's going on? I was preaching my version. And Jesus said, you know, God just told him, just preach the gospel.
Mm.
Just preach the gospel. And then that's when things broke out. And I want to encourage you, go back to your first love and begin to fall back in love with Jesus. Of course, when we do that, and we'll be talking about that today, either in the first or the extra hour, that there's a time of refreshing that comes to us when we deal with the sin in our life.
Mm-hmm.
We get serious with sin. And we have a tendency with our carnal nature sometimes to be blinded by the sin. And there's an onslaught. There's an onslaught by the adversary. There's a flood by the adversary in regards to I sin, E-Y-E, I sin, because he figured out over time and with all the technology that Satan can put a lot of things before men's eyes, and it's a private sin between a man's eyes, a man's heart, and a man's God.
Mm-hmm.
And but we're going to find out today the consequences are the same for hand sins, feet sins, and eye sins.
Oh,
wow.
And many people, I mean, the greatest deception of all, you think about it, wouldn't it be sad that, you know, you're bragging and boasting about, hey, you know, I didn't have any, I didn't sin with my hands, I stopped sinning with my feet.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about what that actually means. And then, since nobody, because a lot of people have a fear of man, it is so, oh my goodness gracious, I'm so tired of fear of man. So many people do things and claim it's for God, but the truth is they're terrified to be identified with a particular sin, what men would think of them versus what God would think of them. But when they're out there hoarding another sin in their heart, realizing.
The very same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, Jiminy.
Catch a clue.
Jiminy, fear of man, crickets. And so, you know, with that the enemy has an onslaught of seduction through PMS, power, money, and sex, visual, imagery, media, doesn't matter what it is, or the actual individual who's dressing and producing an entire, yeah. You know, for example, Jon Bon Jovi, he was on the Today Show some time back, and they said, you know, you've been in music. He's a musician. He lives in Jersey. He went to the movies or something. They're interviewing him and said, you know, what is it like in the movies? It's so different. You've been forever, you know, in the music field on the stage. He goes, oh, I've been seducing audiences for years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I've been seducing audiences for years. It's no different.
Right.
And he's thinking like, oh my goodness. You know, he just nailed it. He nailed it. And the way that the flesh works, you know, power, money, or sex, is that when the person gets on a stage, if they can seduce you with their gifts, whether, you know, no matter what their gifts are, including gifts done in the name of
God,
exercise the name of God, then they get power over you. And you lust after them or their power or their money and what they can do for you. And the enemy's working overtime in all those different areas. And so we have to be cautious of it and understand that that when God destroyed the world, when he destroyed the world, and he said it's going to be in the same as the days of Noah, which means you can go back and study what happened in the days of Noah, and you can say, okay, that's how it's going to be when the Lord comes back. And remember, a lot of people didn't make it into the ark. Everybody had a chance. He preached for 120 years. He told people for 120 years. That's what that means. When somebody says, I preached for 120 years, what he's saying is for 120 years, he said, listen, stop sinning. Mm-hmm. Stop sinning. Stop sinning. And they didn't listen. And eight people got on a boat and they made it. Somebody says, I don't think God's willing to let that many people go to hell. And it's like, well, yes, he is. I mean, it's not that he wants to, but you have to choose to get on the ark. You have to choose salvation. You have to choose the Lord. And this is the big thing. This is what that was said of the days of Noah. They had on their mind. Mm. They didn't have in their hands. They didn't have in their feet. They had on their minds evil 24/7. Mm-hmm. And so it does matter, you know, the eye sin, the heart sin, it's all sin.
That's right.
And we'll be standing before the same judgment seat. Because we're going to talk about that day because we got to begin to learn how to do warfare mm-hmm. against all sin and to do things. And Jesus gives us a strategy in the Gospels how to deal with these type of things. So we're going to be talking about that today as well. We're also going to be talking about Cooper. Cooper's like, I think he's 11 or 12.
He's seven.
Yeah. About a dream that he had. He's been having a lot of dreams about the Lord. And he lives in Maryland with his mother, Nicole. And he's had a dream about heaven before. But now God's given him dreams about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And one of them, we're going to tell you, it's an end-time dream.
Yeah.
It's an end-time dream. And we're going to be sharing with you. This young man has seen heaven. Now, you understand, he's not reading the book of Revelation. But he's God's giving him the book of Revelation in his dreams mm-hmm. and showing him different things. And it's very important to listen up because the time's getting short. It's getting really, really short. And no matter what, we're only here to live for a very short time. So it's always short for us. James calls it a vapor. But there's great things in store for those that are the Lord's. I want to encourage you, nothing you do for the Lord's in vain. And that the enemy's creating this all outright war on men because he sees the victory. He sees the Lord. He knows his days are numbered. Mm-hmm. And we want to end up with God mm-hmm. on the right side of history, right?
That's right.
We don't want to end up in with Satan, you know, in mm-hmm. hell forever, where Jesus says where there's, you know, weeping and gnashing of teeth and where the worm never stops. It's like this continual state of decomposure, pain mm-hmm. that just goes on forever that we actually choose. We choose to be able to go there. Isn't that crazy? It's like we mm-hmm. choose to go there.
That's right.
And so we've got some of these things we're going to talk about today. We really want to focus on encouraging you and reminding you. Listen, you need a time of refreshing. I'm sure if you live in America, our audience is all over the world now. But if you, no matter where you're at, you need times of refreshing. But there's a stipulation to times of refreshing, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about that. So just prepare yourself and listen up, and you will be encouraged because times of refreshing comes to us when we do certain things in our life.
Wow. I don't know if you guys saw this, but here recently on CBN News, the Justice Department said homeschooling is not a right. There is an outright attack on religious freedoms as we have not seen it. I want you to listen up. I want you to listen up to this segment that comes from CBN, and they're going to be reporting on exactly what is happening and what Eric Holder, the Attorney General, has stated about homeschooling. You got to hear this. Listen up.
The U.S. Justice Department says homeschooling is not a fundamental right. That's the argument they made in a federal court case against an evangelical Christian family from Germany, which is seeking asylum in the U.S. The Remeike family was forced to flee Germany or risk losing their 5 children. The German government was trying to force them to put their children in public school. U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder has filed against the family, seeking to deport them. Holder is arguing that asylum should not be granted to homeschoolers, even if they claim their religious freedoms are being violated. And joining us now with more is Dr. Michael Donnelly, Director of International Affairs for the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Charlene. Good to be with you this morning.
What is the status of the Romaike case?
Well, in 2010, an immigration judge granted the Romaikes asylum. And the United States government immediately appealed that. The case was then reviewed by the Board of Immigration Appeals, and that board reversed the immigration judge, saying or agreeing with the government that homeschooling was not a fundamental right and that homeschoolers were not a particular social group under the Asylum Act. We have then appealed that decision to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals and filed the remaining briefs just last week. We'll be waiting for the Sixth Circuit to issue an order for oral argument, we hope. It could be a year or more before we have a final answer.
Okay, and how likely are they to be deported back to Germany?
Well, in this environment, it doesn't appear that there's a whole lot of deportations going on. In fact, I understand that the Obama administration has created policies instructing the immigration officials to look at deporting those who have a criminal record. So I don't think the Romaikes are at any great risk of deportation right now, while we're waiting the outcome of their case, at least.
Okay, now, is the argument from the Justice Department dangerous for homeschool rights in America?
Well, we think it's instructive. Of course, this is an immigration case, and the Department of Justice has to take the opposite side and do their job. But we are troubled by the arguments made in the briefs by the government. They essentially say that it's okay for a country, even a democratic country, to actually ban all home education. They say that there's no problem with this because it's equally applied, which we would take issue with their view of the facts. But that's very troubling from our government to say that. We're concerned about it.
Definitely. Well, could this be the beginning of a serious pushback against homeschooling in the U.S. from the Obama administration?
Well, in our country, the states have the authority over education, and by God's grace, over the last 30 years, homeschooling has become legal in all 50 states in America. In fact, the things that are happening to German homeschoolers today happened to American homeschoolers 30 years ago, so we have to remember that that was the case and that persecution certainly can happen here. In the name of homogenizing a culture or people having different attitudes. But, you know, the federal government is very limited in its ability to affect home education. And so we hope that that won't be the case. But I'll tell you, we will be watching carefully and we will be ready to respond if the federal government or any state government actually takes some steps to try to curtail home education in our country.
And it's so interesting that the Supreme Court of Germany declared that the purpose of the German ban on homeschooling was to counteract the development of religious and philosophical motivated parallel society, unquote. Cool. You think about it, and it's like they specifically said the reason why we're forcing them not to homeschool is because we don't want this religious parallel to our government. Wow. We don't want that going on at the time. So it's already there already. Mm. But Eric Holder went and argued, you know, what are you doing arguing anyway? You know, go back, let that go. You know what I'm saying?
And furious, do we want to bring that back up, Mr. Holder? I
mean, well, the very reason why they're arguing is because there's other motives that only God knows what these motives are, but the fact that they're even messing with that. If this is how the progressive mindset, people who have those values, feel about how to transform a nation is something that, you know, Hitler believed it as well. He says you got to get the children at a young age and get them to buy in, and if they'll buy in, then you've turned the nation. And so they really believe in education because that's where you begin to reprogram children every single day. You just tell them what you want them to know.
Well, Attorney General was the one who said we had to brainwash them.
Yeah,
I mean, this is the one who said we had to brainwash.
You can't tell them once; you got to tell them every single day how to be able to brainwash them. And you think about it, they turned the entire, 27 or 17 reasons in the Declaration of Independence?
27.
They turned it into taxation without representation, only one of the 27. And they did this through our education system. They think it's all about money is the reason why we left Great Britain. Mm-hmm. And not about not having representative government and a freedom to worship and First Amendment and Second Amendment and all the things that we have in the Constitution. That's the reason why we did it. Listen, homeschool is very, very important, and although it may appear today like they're not going to do this, deal with it, but realize, just look at the history of what they've already done.
That's right.
Their goal is to fundamentally transform America. We'll be right back. There is nothing, I mean nothing, Pat, worse than man's religion.
Yeah.
You know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God, which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk to you.
Right.
You know, and people want, they want this, but sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this,
you can
do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you.
Mm-hmm.
You can write your own devotional. Listen, just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time, at a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org.
I want to encourage you today, if you're looking for a fellowship of believers, if you're looking to be a part of the church where the church is family, I want to encourage you to go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. It's a network of abiding churches that hear God's voice and live amongst each other as family. This is the church's greatest hour, and God may be calling you to be a part. VineFellowshipNetwork.org. Check it out. It could be for you.
You know, you might be listening to the VFN radio right now and begin to hear what God's doing and how God has touched other people's lives. And then you might be asking yourself, you know, can God really use me? And you might be taking an account and looking back and what you've done in your life and think that God can't. Well, I want to encourage you that you can read stories and read through the transition of how God encountered other people's lives and look into to see what God did. I want to encourage you to read and check out meetmyfather.org. And on the right-hand side of that, you'll see read other testimonies, read other stories, and you can see how God used people just like you to draw people to himself. meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. Did you know an accident never happens until it happens? It never happens till it happens. It may seem silly, but the truth is, people just don't believe accidents will happen until they happen. But once they happen, they believe accidents will happen. I mean, it's like you're driving your car, right?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody almost misses you. Well, that was almost an accident.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, most accidents occur within 5 miles of your home. And there's so many near misses, but accidents don't happen until they happen. And things don't take place until they take place. And sad thing with the human nature is we don't believe it's a reality in our life until it happens. this is what a lot of people say, until it happens to me or somebody close to me, I can't relate.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that everybody else's accident wasn't real. It just means that those most of those folks refuse to acknowledge that accidents happen.
Right.
And it's a come right out and say, you know, I understand. Yeah, I understand. It's like, that's 40,000 people just died. I know, but I don't know any of them. And I'm still getting, you know, it's amazing how that works.
It's a really hard way to get wisdom. Let me tell you, it's a hard way.
It is. And it does come that way if you don't have it. And understanding that there's so many things about to happen on the earth. There's so many things about to happen. And wisdom is just shouting and crying aloud in the street saying, you know, if you don't turn, if you don't listen to me, difficult times are coming, tough times are coming. But if you will turn, then I'll restore you and I'll forgive you and I'll even make my heart known to you. That's Proverbs chapter 1 I'm talking about. And it's like, nope, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen because, first of all, it's never happened to me. It's never happened to anybody I know. I didn't know any of my friends that ever had something like that. You know? And they say. And it's just kind of hard for me to relate because I've never had anybody like that. It's like, it happens. You know, go to the hospital. Go visit people. Go visit other nations and realize that these things are happening as we speak. It's like when you hear people talk about this tragedy that took place in the massacre in the school in Connecticut, they're relating to that, and we should. But when you hear about 60,000 Syrians killed, it doesn't even cross people's radar. It's like, you know, children are being killed, women are being killed, innocent men are being killed, and it's like it doesn't even, like, God doesn't love Syrians? That doesn't affect you? You know, starving children don't, the sex trafficking doesn't bother you? I mean, what I'm saying is like, oh my goodness, Lord, we're not even moved with the compassion, with the infirmities of others and what they're going through. And there's so many things about to happen that we're about to get empathy.
Mm-hmm.
We're about to get empathy. But I just see this unfolding of a plan, a rapid decline of the America that we used to know, that God allowed us to have, at the same time why people are continuing to push the wagon that got us in this place the first time. It's like they're shouting even louder. It's sort of like when Sodom and Gomorrah was in the weighing in the balance, and God sent angels down to be able to kind of do a real, you know, a check and see what's happening down here. And they go and they look and they say, well, yeah, it is. It's pretty bad, you know. And then they go to see Lot, and they're like days away from being totally destroyed. And so they go into Lot's house, the angels do, and then the people in the streets are saying, listen, and they wanted these angels. They actually wanted to have sex with these angels. And hours away, it was just the highest escalation, you know, of that. And it's just like, oh my goodness. Little did you know that within a few moments, life as you know it, and maybe your life as you know it, may cease to exist. And to be absent from the bodies, to be present with God at the judgment seat of Christ. And they just didn't understand that God was about to bring judgment on a nation, on a city. And with that, and it's a lot of sins that were going on, and one of the sins was sexual sin, but there was a lot of sins going on. Pride, gluttony, all these things were taking place inside. It was just total flesh, you know, anything the flesh wanted. And it's like, but they didn't even know that meteorites were going to rain down from heaven. You know, it really would only take one meteorite. You know, it's like one little small meter to knock out Sodom and Gomorrah, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Everybody's like, man, that must have been like raining for days, like brimstone. It's like, no, one meteor could have taken them totally out.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just sense that, and I'm watching. And you tell yourself, you're thinking, you know, I don't really want that to happen. And you say, man, I hope that this is not the case. But the problem is, wisdom shouts aloud in the streets. And if your ears are tuned to her, and tune to him, which is Jesus himself, that you just know that if it don't turn, if we don't wake up, and with that, you got to go listen to, go to VFN TV and watch Is America Under God's Judgment? Also listen to Josiah, America, Christianity, Islam, and Israel, and listen to the State of the Nation, and understand that it looks like our president is as like God's set man. He's like God's set man, that there's no way one man could accomplish. It's so hard to accomplish anything in that office. I mean, it's just impossible. You know, they come with these great intentions, and you can't get things to move. But this man has a different thing on him that is allowing him to accomplish things that could never have been accomplished. And since Roosevelt,
that alone is a sign.
Yeah.
That alone is a sign.
Yeah. The healthcare and all these kind of different things are about, you know, that was started way back in the progressive movement. That's actually what, who's that president that we just really, like, and
Woodrow,
President Woodrow Wilson, he wanted big government. He saw there was all these problems going on in America, and he thought the answer to him was big government. And we're not going to talk about the war that he started or got involved in because of that. But that you understand this, it's not, you don't hate anybody, actually. And you definitely don't, you know, have a bad heart towards those that God's allowing to be in leadership. But in regards to Pilate was a politician. And the people were demanding from the politician, Jesus, to be crucified, but he was willing to let Barabbas go. And what's happening in Washington, and definitely what's happening by our president, he's giving America everything it asks for. Everything America's asking for. He's giving it to America. He's bringing it in. It's almost like God said, okay, I'll give it to you till it's coming out your nose. Because he's passing, you know, through executive order and through, you know, the first 4 years, he's passing things that just couldn't have been passed outside of God allowing that to take place. And it's adjusting America. And of course, I believe that, you know, his mindset is he thinks it's good what he's doing, but he doesn't know what God's accomplishing in the context of this, that when you, you know, bow up at Israel and say we're no longer a Christian nation, it's not going to be good in the context of this. But the things that he's accomplishing is that alone, when you're getting everything you ask for and it's your flesh that's asking, you need to be really, really worried because it's very soon it's going to be coming out your nose, you know, and it's just crying aloud. Wisdom is just shouting and crying aloud in the streets saying, you know, turn, turn. And this is what God says in Proverbs 1. He says, well, then disaster will come upon you and you'll call for me and I won't even answer. He says, I'll even laugh. I'll even laugh. You think, why would you laugh? The same way you would laugh at a little 5-year-old kid says, I'm going to do it myself. And then he falls on his face. You know, you're going to laugh. You're thinking, yeah, you see, you couldn't do it without me. And that's the kind of laughter I believe that it's going to be. But if you die in the midst of that disaster, there's no laughing matter because you didn't have time. If you die in your sin, if you don't have more life than sin, you're going to be in trouble because it's over for you. You know, it's appointed once to die and then the judgment. But I want to encourage you that personally, if you make a decision yourself, despite everything else, despite the popular vote and the popular things that are going on, to live for God, no matter what happens in the natural sense, you're going to be blessed and taken care of. But God also says that he'll place a mark on you and he will protect you and keep you. Does that mean you're not going to go through nothing? No, but it means that you can trust what you're going through. God is orchestrating it in a way, and it's going to be good how it all turns out in the end. But if you're just diving in to, you know, sin, and these things begin to happen, it's not good. I mean, God may send a man to you at your deathbed to warn you like an angel where you're going to be if you don't repent. And sometimes, you know, God, there are those deathbed conversions. And that's just the gift. God is so awesome.
Gift.
It's a gift from God. But I just want to encourage you, if you can't hear this, then you need to listen to this. You need to listen to VFN Radio talking to you right now. That it's loud. It is like it's literally is vibrating nonstop. You know, my spirit probably for you know, it's just building and building and building and building and building. And understand if everything repeats as it always was, then there will be this huge celebration right before you've been weighed in the balance and feeling left wanting. It won't like some devastation and then devastation. It will be you've been weighed in the balances, and all of a sudden a hand's going to appear on the wall of America and begin to write on the wall that says why they were celebrating and drinking out of the gold cups and having a party and all this kind of stuff. That's how it happens. It happens right at the peak of carnality and flesh, and like, we finally got what we want. And it's like, boom.
And I think about, it's so profound what you were just saying a little earlier, that in the days of Noah, I mean, 120 years. I mean, that's the thing about sin. It's so deceptive. You get so lost in it. You've been taken over by it that they had no idea what was getting ready to happen. And they didn't know because they weren't being told. They were told for 120 years, this is going to happen. And yet they did not take heed. And you said it earlier even too about what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, moments before they're about to annihilate, God was about to annihilate that total city with destruction. These men were just so into their sin, they were being taken down to get ready to have sex with angels. Now, I think about what is happening right now in America. It's like, it's just time to repent. It's time to turn. We could be at judgment's door any second, any moment. And if we don't get our hearts right, we don't get the sin out of our life, we don't get right with God, then you know, when it's over, it's over. There are no second chances when you stand before the judgment seat of God. It's it. The time to turn to God is right now. If there was a chance to interview those people that were lost in the flood, believe you me, they would probably say, I think you need to listen to Noah. I think you need to listen to the messages. I think you need to listen to the people and listen to what's being said on VFN radio about getting ready, getting your heart right. I mean, there's nothing like it. I know we're going to talk about more in the program, but that's that time of refreshing that the Lord wants to bestow on us. But there's no refreshing without repentance. And that's the thing, a problem that's been happening across the American gospel. Give me the refreshing. Give me the blessings. Give me all the good stuff of God. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to leave this life of sin. It doesn't happen that way.
In the extra hour, we're going to be talking about getting serious with sin, getting serious about sin. And it's going to be very important because God's serious about it.
Very serious.
And we've been hearing a gospel that people are preaching things and teaching things that says God's not serious about sin. And so we have to unlearn the lies and say, wait a minute, and we're going to find out what Jesus says about sin. So it's not about saying a prayer, 10 years ago.
Mm.
It's about praying continually and dealing with sin continually and warring with it and against it with the cross of Christ, in our lives, because Jesus said very specifically, if we don't deal with the sin, we don't get serious with sin like he's serious with sin, we won't be with him in heaven. We will not be there. Period. That's what he says. It. We're going to read it from the Gospels today. We're going to read it from Jesus' words in the extra hour. You got to catch it, and you got to hear that, because wouldn't that be wild if you fell for the lie of the enemy, the religious lie that said God's not serious about sin, and you find out that he is serious while you're standing before his judgment seat, how serious he is? That would be terrible. That would be just terrible, And also, we're going to talk about what Jesus specifically talks about the people that taught someone that he's not serious about sin. And what happens to them. We'll be right back in a moment. I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, we're 24-7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. I don't know if you heard about the podcast, but I'm excited about the podcast.
Talk to us.
The podcast for VFN TV, the Daily Radio program. Look, think about it. Mm-hmm. A podcast, this is what a podcast does. It happens without you doing anything.
Oh, that's good.
Once you subscribe to the our podcast, the entire day's programs, the teachings that are loosed, if they're available on VFN TV, released, the highlights, you know, the each individual highlights that you see on the VFN Torch. I mean, this automatically, if you subscribe to the podcast, and it's a podcast, it will just download somehow miraculously into your computer, into your iPhone, into your Android, and you don't even need to be hooked up in the Wi-Fi or anything like that.
It's good.
It just will automatically download it so you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it because it's sitting inside your phone, your iPod, your Android, your computer. It's sitting in there like it's a song that you purchased and sits in your playlist. That's what a podcast is, which is pretty cool because what that means is this, that everything that's ever happened in the broadcast, all these different topics and wisdom and everything that we're sharing with you, to encourage you, but also to encourage others, that you can have them yourself. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to sign up to get something. They just download automatically through the podcast. Make sure you check it out. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the podcast today. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. We're just talking about the signs of the time and what's taking place. It's amazing how wisdom is just shouting aloud in the streets saying, respond to God. Respond to God. And remember this, you know, as we're talking about God, he's a loving God. He's so loving, he's not wanting these things to happen to us. That's mm-hmm. how loving he is. I mean, he's just, when somebody's warning you, that's love because they just go, okay, it's just going to happen. Mm-hmm. No warning. It's like having no, removing the red lights from an intersection. That's not love. Love is putting a red light in the intersection, right?
Exactly.
That's good.
And somebody says, yeah, I went through the intersection 15 times, nothing happened, but there's no warning. It's not going to always be that way. It's, you know, if you don't start listening to the laws of the road, you're going to not make it.
That's right.
So understand, it's a loving God not wanting these things to take place. We still have time like Nineveh to be able to turn to God. I just want to encourage you to be able to do that. I don't know if you guys heard about this or not, that Dwayne Wade of the Miami Heat, his mother, I remember seeing pictures of him getting baptized. He was getting baptized, I think, at the, I guess, the Atlantic. And he's tall, he's big. Mm-hmm. And the two ministers that were baptizing him came up to his knee. It was so, I was like, that is just precious. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, come down here so we can put you in the water. And he was standing in the water beside them. Mm-hmm. And they're, I mean, just they look like two little children standing beside him. Wow. And, but he, you know, he had a very rough upbringing. You know, his mother was abused by his father, and his father just left them. Mm-hmm. And the mother was addicted to drugs, and her name is Jolinda Wade, and had a real rough life, and drug houses and all this kind of stuff. And you know, suddenly when she went to jail for what she had done, when Dwayne came to visit her in jail, it just clicked. She was so angry with herself that she had gotten to this point, and then she's watching her little boy on the outside of that cell see her in that condition. She was just angry.
Mm-hmm.
And we all been there, right? Where you just get angry.
Yeah.
And she began to not forgive herself. She's just angry, and she got out and she tried to do things right, but she ended back on drugs again. And finally, long story short, she ends up just giving her life to God and getting set free.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
wow.
She was so touched by God that she became a pastor.
Oh, wow.
You know, her name is Pastor Jolinda Wade. And Dwayne saw his mother through all these transitions. He saw her in the bottom, and now he sees her where she is. And now, because of his success, he was able to buy his mother a $2 million church building.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome? A $2 wow. million. Dollars. He's wow. given a testimony, you know, at the church. He said, listen, you know, I've seen her at the bottom, and now I've seen her at the top, and I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about spiritual blessings, what she has and she is right now. And, of course, she's been quite a pastor for quite some time in the context of that, but since his success, that he was able to buy her a $2 million church building. And I just thought it was so cool. What a big turnaround.
Wow.
And you can find out, you know, more about them. Her church, I believe, is in Detroit. I'm not sure. And, of course, he's with the Miami Heat. And just follow them and just say how much that their testimony means to you, you know, for God. Here she was. You think it's totally over. Your father leaves. Your mother's on drugs in the streets. She's in drug houses. She's arrested. She says she's going to make a difference, and she doesn't. And she said, all this time, you know, my kids were loving me. But because I would not forgive myself, it kept me from receiving their love. I couldn't feel it. I couldn't receive it.
Mm.
You know, and so many people are being loved, but because they hate themselves, because maybe you hate yourself, or you haven't forgiven yourself for, you know, what you've done or what you did, whatever it is. And somebody's trying to love on you, and you accuse them all the time. You know, you don't love me. You don't love me. Like those people go, I don't ever win anything. You know, it's like nobody's ever loved you. And what it is the person, you can't receive love until you forgive. It's like it puts this cold, crisp, hard heart shell over your heart. And when people are loving on you, you don't feel it. It doesn't seem real to you. You know why? Because you feel the enemy's convinced you that you don't deserve love for what you did. Or you're a failure, you're a mistake, you know, you're in jail again, you did the drugs again, you know, you whatever again, and you just decided when you sought the devil for counsel that, okay, I'm not going to forgive myself. I'll punish myself by not forgiving myself. And what happens is you end up punishing everybody else in your life because they feel the pain of your unforgiveness. You're harsh and mean and hateful. And you justify that by saying, well, I treat myself that way. It's like, okay, just treat yourself, don't treat us that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost an impossible thing. You know, I always say, you know, if you're going to hit yourself, you know, don't swing big because you might hit me too.
Right.
And it's if you don't let it go, the end of that's not well. The end of it's not well at all. And you love others. He says, love others how you love yourself. And if we're wondering why we struggle with having empathy and compassion for other people, quite often it's tied to self-hate, you know, being hard on oneself, constantly listening to what the devil has to say about you and being in agreement with it. And you kind of give yourself permission to hate yourself. The thing is that therefore he says, you know, in conjunction with that, the parallel of that, you cannot give to others what you refuse to receive yourself. And you're going to have to be able to receive God's love. And it's very important. Especially if you say that you're a Christian, you're walking with God, realize God is love. But there's no love in your life. Think about it. There's no love in your life. There's no fruit of the Spirit of love in your life. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love is long-suffering. Love keeps no records of wrong. It doesn't delight in evil. I mean, all the things about love. And he says it doesn't matter what you do. If you do all this stuff, even for him, and accurately use your gifts, like prophesying and healings and miracles. He said, listen, if you don't have love, it's nothing. Right. It's just nothing. So it's important for you. Don't skip over the fact of thinking, I can keep on just, you know, being married, being a parent, you know, being a minister or whatever, and not deal with a Christian and not deal with, this is a serious issue if love's not flowing in your life.
That's right.
First of all, you're missing love himself, because that's what the good news is about Jesus Christ. He forgives. He forgives. And if he forgives, who are we to hold unforgiveness? So if God forgives us, then we should forgive ourselves. And it really, believe it or not, it's kind of wild. But and we'll talk about it in the wisdom moment today, that pride is self-awareness. I think more pride is demonstrated off of feeling bad about oneself than being overly confident in oneself. It's this deep black hole, this deep spiral of self. I mean, you get around somebody that's deep in pride, which means self-aware, whether they're you know, arrogantly confident, overly confident about themselves, or whether they're just constantly beating themselves up. Either way, you feel like you're falling into a black hole. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm going in. Hold me. Throw a rope after me. They're sucking me into their pride. Help me. Help me. I'm going to die. You know, it's like this black hole in space. You're just getting sucked into it. And it's like, are we talking about you again? Oh, my goodness. Help us. No, it's okay. I'm talking bad about myself. Right. So I was just saying, I'm not saying anything good about myself. I'm beating myself up. And it's pride. Yeah. And when you understand that, it helps you forgive yourself, because you're thinking, oh my goodness, I thought I was, and it's really called false humility. Mm-hmm. It's false humility, which is another definition for pride. It's when we think beating ourselves up is doing God a favor. It's a works mentality. And if anybody, I like what Rick Joyner writes in his book, one of his books, he wrote that the stingers for the devil, probably. I don't know what was the name of it. But anyway, if there's one people that God can't use, it's people with false humility. They're constantly beating themselves up. Well, first of all, the message you have to deliver is not love. So we don't mind you not being used. It's not a great loss until you deal with your stuff. Yeah?
I think it was Epic Battles of the Last Days.
Yes, that's it. Epic Battles of the Last Days. And so when you think about it, it's pride. When you think about false humility, you know, I'm beating myself up, I'm not good, and I make mistakes, and yada, yada, yada. And you realize, okay, that's pride. It's easier to repent from that than to think, I just need to forgive myself and have no meaning and no foundation to that. But when you realize it's idolatry and self-focus, and you got to move beyond that and take it to the cross like everything else, and that it's pride, and God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble, it makes you just want to say, you know what? I'm not going to have any pride in my life. I'm going to go ahead and get rid of that. And more people do harm to others because of false humility. They hurt other people under the guise, it's okay because I'm hurting myself. I don't treat myself any better than that. Not realizing the same consequences are going to happen even if you were arrogant and cocky and you know, thought that you were better than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you think that you're better or whether you think that you are not better, you are on your mind. And he says, unless you deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me, you can only have a part of me. Now, is that how it goes? He says, if you pick up your cross, he says, if you're going to follow me, you got to pick up your cross and deny yourself. And if you don't do this, you can't even have a part. Mm-mm. A part. Think about it, a part of me. Read the red letters. It will change and it'll fundamentally transform your walk.
Sure will.
With God, and it will really help you out. Yes, yeah, so Dwayne Wade's mother is now a pastor, I believe, with her husband. And Dwayne's given a testimony at her church talking about how he's seen her at the bottom, now he's seen her at the top, and he wasn't talking about the top of money and stuff, but just at the top of how God's restored her life and using her now. And she says to Dwayne that you are my hero. And he says, you are my hero.
Wow. Mm.
Isn't that awesome?
Wow.
That's cool.
You are my hero after all that.
Mm.
Can you imagine your kids seeing you? And some of you may have gone through this. And your kids are seeing you trying to shake this thing. You're trying to shake this drug and you fell back into it again. And you know that your kids are, you know, seeing you drunk on the streets or seeing you with the drugs or seeing you in this, you know, with this drug dealer and stuff, and you just said you're not going to do it anymore. And all that humiliation and all that pain and all the things that come to that. And then hearing down the road after God restores and forgives and everything that you're the hero.
Mm.
That's beautiful, isn't it?
Wow. Powerful.
Yeah. That is totally, totally beautiful. We're going to be talking about in the extra hour today on a little bit about Black History Month, about the doctors that served in the military right after Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. And history does not even talk about them because of the racism and the things that was in the United States at the time. And we want to be able to talk about these guys because Dr. Carl today, think about his name in a moment, his mother, Carl, Dr. Carl. He spoke at the prayer breakfast.
Ben Carson.
Dr. Ben Carson. We're going to be talking about him and how he got to where he was, and also maybe some history with the doctors who served in the military when everything was against them, and they still served and they still took care of their fellow soldiers, knowing that that's their part that they could do. And we want to be able to talk about them in our history. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.